Welcome to episode 510 of the Recruitment Marketing and Sales Podcast. And today I'm your host, Sharon Newey. Denise's voice is taking a break because I wanted to record this podcast sooner rather than later about a topic that I deal with a lot. Now, this episode has a bold title. Imposter Syndrome is Keeping Your Recruitment Business Small. And I mean it. In over 30 years of coaching senior business owners, I see this pattern most often in people who are the most capable individuals. Today, then, we're naming it and we're talking about what you can do about it.
Welcome to the Recruitment Marketing and Sales Podcast. An obsessive focus on marketing and sales is the only way to accelerate your company growth. So listen in now as we share the latest strategies and techniques guaranteed to deliver you more placements and profits.
So let's dive in and talk about why imposter syndrome is keeping your recruitment business small. Imagine then you're on a call with a client that you've worked with for quite a while. It's a good relationship. They're engaged, they're friendly, the conversation, it's going well. And then, somewhere in the middle of it, almost as an aside, they say, actually, we had a really useful piece come through this week from another agency. It was a benchmarking report on salaries in our sector. Really timely given what's happening with the market at the moment. Now, they're not threatening to leave by saying that. They're not complaining about you. It is literally a throwaway comment. And something shifts. You know that topic yourself. You've lived that topic. You do live that topic day in, day out. You have the exact same conversation about salary expectations with four clients this month. You know what's happening in your market. You know why it's happening and what businesses should be doing about it. You could have written that report yourself. You should have written that report. But you didn't. And somebody else did. And now your client is talking about them when they're on a call with you. That feeling, that specific, that uncomfortable mix of frustration and recognition, it's not a content problem. It's not a time problem. It's an imposter syndrome. It is costing you your business more than you realize. So the reason I wanted to record this episode today is that I see this topic coming up far too frequently, not occasionally. And it happens consistently. In coaching calls over recent months, imposter syndrome has surfaced more times than I can count, and almost always with people that you wouldn't expect it to come from. These are highly capable, highly experienced, very successful individuals, and yet it keeps showing up. Now, alongside Superfast Recruitment, I work privately with many senior business owners and leaders as a performance coach, and I have been doing that for well over 30 years across a huge breadth of industries. And in that time, one pattern has repeated itself more than almost any other. Founders with decades of experience, directors of global organizations whose sector knowledge is genuinely exceptional. People from the outside who look completely assured. And at some point in our work together, the same conversation surfaces. It usually sounds something like, Sharon, I know what I should be doing. I know I have something worth saying, But when it comes to putting it out there, something stops me. I look at what others are doing and I think, well, who am I to be saying this? Sometimes they frame it as it's about not having enough time. Sometimes, well, I'm not natural at this marketing stuff. But when we dig into it a little bit more, the real thing underneath is almost always the same. And recently, that conversation has been happening far more regularly with so many different people that I thought, I need to talk about this on the podcast. Because if this is coming up this consistently in a coaching context, the chances are it is sitting quietly in a lot more recruitment businesses right now, doing damage that nobody's quite naming yet. So that is what today is about. What imposter syndrome looks like in a recruitment business, why it disproportionately affects the people who are the most skilled and most experienced, and what it is costing you commercially. So let's get into it. Now, let's start then with the number that reframes everything. Research suggests that up to 85% of high-achieving professionals experience imposter syndrome at some point in their career. 85%, even I was staggered by that number. That is not a niche phenomenon. That isn't something that happens to people who lack confidence or ability. It's a pattern that affects the majority of people who are very good at what they do. And when you understand that, the whole framing shifts. Because imposter syndrome isn't evidence that you're not ready. It's frequently, or should I say, it's frequently a signal that you are more than capable than you ever give yourself credit for. The doubt's not a warning sign. It's a common side effect of expertise. Now, we will come back to that in a moment and why, but just hold that thought because it matters. Now, before we go any further, let's be specific about what we are talking about today. Because in a recruitment business, imposter syndrome, it rarely announces itself as, hey, I'm imposter syndrome. It disguises itself as something far more practical. It looks like we're waiting until the website's ready. You know the marketing needs to happen. You know you should be posting on LinkedIn, building your presence, building your personal brand, getting your expertise visible, getting your knowledge out in front of people. But thing is, the website, it's not quite right. You're not quite happy with the messaging, some of the imagery needs changing. So you'll start once you've got the right images or you've had some professional photos taken. The website gets sorted, then it's something else. It looks like not posting because that post, it's not quite good enough. You've drafted something, you've read it back. You think, well, this is a bit obvious, isn't it? Everyone in my sector, they already know this. They don't need me to tell them yet again. Or it might be, why would anyone want to read my take on this when this topic has been talked about by so many people already? And so what do? You delete it, or it just gets left as a draft and nothing ends up going out. It might look like you're avoiding video permanently. Even though video works, you've seen the data. It's been presented and shared on several marketing presentations that you've seen. Your clients respond well to faces that they recognise. But something about the idea of pressing record feels impossible. So instead, what do? You focus on written content, and the video conversation, it gets shelved for another quarter. It can look like undercharging and struggling to defend your fees. When you don't fully believe in your own authority, fee conversations, they become uncomfortable. You drop your rate before the clients even push back. You discount as a reflex, not as a planned strategy. And then you feel resentful about the work that you're doing for the money that you're earning, because some of them are not the easiest roles to be filling. And you're kicking yourself because you're thinking that really it would have been better to have asked for a small upfront deposit, not necessarily a full retained, but certainly an upfront deposit. And it could also look like you're watching competitors win work, that you know that you could do better. Imposter syndrome creeps into so many parts of your everyday way of working and doing business. Another example could be you see a client announcement from someone in your space, a business that you're aware of, a recruiter you've placed against before, and you think, okay, how did they get that? Why are they getting visible and I'm not? And the answer, more often than not, isn't that they're better than you. It's that they're louder. They're showing up. They're saying the things that you're thinking. Recognize any of that? Because in our experience, most recruitment business owners will recognize maybe at least three of those patterns immediately. And they file them under it's about time, or it's a different priority, it's not a priority right now. Or they'll have filed it under, well, it's just not my thing. But that's not really what any of those are. Now, why are high achievers at more risk of this? Because you would think high achievers would take it in their stride. Here's the part, though, that most people find genuinely surprising. Because the people who are most susceptible to imposter syndrome are not the people who are least competent. It's the exact opposite. The more expert that you become, the more likely you are to experience it. And there's a name for this. It's the paradox of competence. Now, the logic's this. When you're a junior recruiter, you know what you don't know. The gaps are visible. You're learning, and that's completely appropriate at that point in your career, isn't it? But as you become genuinely more expert, your awareness of your field's complexity increases almost at the same rate as your knowledge. You can see further, which means that you can also see further ahead of where you currently are. You're more aware of the things that you don't know, and that awareness can feel, sometimes incorrectly, like inadequacy.
Quick pause from me before we get back into it. This podcast, as you probably worked out, has no sponsors, has no ads, nobody pays us to record these episodes. And Sharon and I make it because we love this industry and we want to give something useful back to the people running small recruitment businesses. If you're getting value from this, here's the only thing I'll ask: connect with me on LinkedIn, Sir Denise Oyston. That's Oyston with an O, hit connect, and drop me a quick note and say you found me through the podcast. I read every single message and I reply personally. There's no funnel, there's no pitch, just a chance to say hello and stay in touch. So right, let's get back to that conversation.
Now, there's a specific version of this that we see a lot in the recruitment business, the recruitment business owner that we work with. Many of our clients built their career inside a corporate agency. They were the person with the brand behind them. That it could be the Hays brand, the Robert Half brand, Michael Page. They were brilliant at what they did, and the brand gave them a huge platform. As a result, candidates and clients trusted them, but some of that trust was borrowed from the company or the institution they were working with. And here's what happens then: when they went out on their own, things were different. Now, going out on your own is courageous. Commercially, it's a smart decision. But it came with a hidden tax, because now the brand isn't that big corporate, it's them. The credibility is theirs to rebuild under their own brand, not a borrowed brand. And for some people, that transition triggers a voice that says, was it ever really me? Will people follow me without the badge, the big corporate badge? Now, the answer wholeheartedly is yes. Of course the answer is yes. 20, 25, 30 years of sector experience does not evaporate when you hand back a corporate email address. It doesn't. But the voice doesn't always believe that. And that can sometimes be a rather loud voice. Now, the commercial cost of this is significant. And of course, it's not one that you're counting. So let's be direct about something. Imposter syndrome isn't just an internal discomfort. It has a real measurable cost. And most business owners that we work with haven't fully calculated it. There's a number of costs here, so let me walk through them. The first one is visibility. When you're not showing up consistently, because you're not posting, you're not publishing, you're not putting your expertise out into the public domain in front of existing clients, potential clients and candidates, well, you're invisible to the people who are actively looking for someone just like you. Your ideal client is on LinkedIn right now. They are reading content and they're forming opinions. They're deciding who they trust and who they don't. And if you're not there, you're not even in the conversation. And instead, visible competitors win the work that you should be winning, not because that they're better, but because they're present. And unfortunately, you're not. Now, the second cost is fee pressure. Authority and pricing power are directly linked. When a client already knows who you are, when they've read your posts on LinkedIn, when they've seen that you understand their market in a way that other recruiters simply don't. The fee conversation starts from a very different position. They've already bought and are convinced of your expertise before they've picked up that phone, before they respond to a message or an email. The fee is almost a formality. When you're visible, you are just another recruiter. And just another recruiter competes on price. And I've just realised, as I was speaking that out, That is going to be confusing, isn't it? What I meant to say was, when you're invisible, you're just another recruiter. And that, when you're just another recruiter, that's when you compete on price. So I'm just going to repeat that, just so I'm really clear, is that when you're invisible, that's when you're just another recruiter, and that's when you end up competing on price. Now, we saw this play out very clearly with a client that we worked with who had almost close to 30 years in her sector. She knew a market better than almost anyone. But before she started showing up consistently and putting her expertise out into the public domain in front of existing clients, potential clients and candidates, she was competing on contingency terms, just like everybody else. However, within months of building her visible presence, she was having very different conversations with clients. She told us that fee negotiations had almost become secondary because clients had bought into her expertise before the conversations really had started. They could see the value before terms got discussed. And she went on to secure her first ever retain projects after decades of contingency work. And that's the power of visibility. And they are well on their way to completely flipping the kind of business that they've had from mainly contingency to the complete opposite. Now, the third cost is referrals. Referrals, they're not just generated by the quality of your work. They are generated by how front of mind you are with people who refer you. If your network hasn't heard from you in 6 months, if they're not regularly being reminded that you exist and what you do, what are they going to do? They will refer someone that they've spoken to more recently. Recency is something that we often neglect to remember is important because frequency and recency are really key to referral. Because if we're not frequently in front of our audience, and if we're not the most recent person that they remember seeing, hearing from, the other person who is more frequent and is more recently on their radar, well, then they're just generally, they're more visible. And it's that individual who will end up getting that referral conversation. So when we add these three things up, lost clients to louder competitors, reduced fee rates, referrals going elsewhere, we're talking about quite a significant sum. And it's all traceable back to a voice that said, I'm not ready yet. So we're not going to leave you with just a problem. That would be a rather unsatisfying episode. So here are three things that are low risk, practical, and genuinely, they will move the needle. The first is to post one piece of content about what you know, not who you are. The most common reason people don't post is that they think it's about self-promotion. And self-promotion feels, for some people, uncomfortable. But it's not actually what the best content is. The best content from a recruitment business owner is about the market. Where are you seeing your sector going right now? What are clients in that sector? What are they getting wrong? Where are they making mistakes? What are they not anticipating? What are they not thinking of? What do candidates need to understand about the current hiring landscape that they're experiencing? That is that expertise, that knowledge, that's worth sharing. That's not self-promotion. It's exactly what your ideal client and candidate needs to read. So start there one post this week. The second is to share a client or a candidate outcome. Not a case study, not something that's like a polished testimonial, just a moment. So it might sound like, we helped a client hire a head of finance last month, and here is what made the difference in the search. That can be a two-paragraph LinkedIn post. It demonstrates your expertise, it shows your commercial impact, and it's built entirely from something that's already happened. You're not inventing content. You're sharing an experience, you're sharing your expertise, you're sharing how you were able to make a search work for one of your clients. And so you're making your existing work visible to your market. And the third is to say the thing that it's almost too obvious to say. This is the one that most people push back on, okay? They tell us that their market already knows what they know. But here is what we've learned from many years of working with recruitment businesses. Your market hears these things all the time, and they're still making the same mistakes. So while it's obvious to you, it's not obvious to them. Because let's take a client, for example. Recruiting can be such a small part of their role unless obviously they are focused on talent acquisition, but that's not everybody that an SME recruitment business markets themselves to. And if you're marketing to an SME business, well then those individuals recruiting and hiring will be such a small part of their role. So it's not obvious to them. The insight that feels like basic knowledge inside your industry is exactly the kind of practical, grounded perspective that those ideal clients of yours, they're waiting to read that kind of information. They're looking for that kind of information. And if they're not looking, but when they read it, they'll suddenly think, oh my goodness, that is why something's not working. I hadn't thought about it like that. Now, none of the things that I've mentioned here, none of these three things require a detailed content strategy, a professional copywriter, or even a professional photo shoot. What they require is you to make a decision that all this knowledge and experience that you've built up over the years, that is worth sharing. That is your only prerequisite. So before I go, I want you to leave you with one question. It's not a framework, it's not an action plan, just something honest to reflect on. What is the one thing you know you should be saying publicly out into your market that you've been holding back on? And what is the real reason? Not the practical reason, not the time or the website or the fact that you're not sure which platform to use, the real reason. Because in 30 years of coaching, I've rarely met a business owner who lacked something worth saying. What I have met time and again are people who have everything they needed and were waiting for permission that was never going to come from anywhere external. You already have such a wealth of expertise. You've earned it. The only question is whether you're going to let it stay invisible. So thank you for spending time with us today. If this episode has been useful, please do share it with another recruitment business owner you think would benefit. And if you haven't already subscribed, please do. We have many more episodes coming in this in the coming months. And also there are some more episodes coming around a mindset theme, and don't want you to miss any of those either. So until next time, take care of yourselves and see you soon. Bye for now.
Before we sign off, I want to share something with you. We have completely redesigned Superfast Circle. This is not a refresh. It's not a few new slides. We've rebuilt it from the ground up to be the most commercially focused program we have ever created. And you still get all the content resources, you get all the frameworks, you get all the Canva tools, and you get all the AI prompts. And everything we have built over 18 years of working with exclusively recruitment businesses. But now you also get more one-to-one time with Sharon and I directly. We are in it with you. And we back it with a guarantee. If you are in the program and you've not seen a return on your investment, we'll carry on working with you one-to-one until you do. Now, if you want the details, just email support@superfastrecruitment.co.uk. Tell us you heard this on the podcast and we'll send you all the details of what's included in the program, the investment, and all of the things that you need. So this is Denise saying bye for now, and I'll see you next time.